For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
His player trying to get his ass fired. Wow. Man, that is the only... Nick, we want you to be yourself. We want you to act the donkey on the sideline. We want you to be chirping at the fans. They trying to get him fired, Smalls.
You think so?
Somebody is trying to call a code red. They're like, you know what? Let's huddle up. If we tell him to be himself, maybe he'll actually go out and do it, and that would give Jeffrey Lurie and GM Howie Roseman just enough ammunition to fire his ass.
Chestnut checkers. Welcome back. Midday show.
Hugh Chris Douglas. Can't stand that guy.
Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-949. A little comic relief as the Sirianni thing continues. Look, he apologized yesterday. We could all move on from what happened. The reality is, though, the players continue to endorse this. And if the players are okay with it, are you okay with it? I'm not. I just don't think it's a good look for a head coach. I don't think it's a good look for the organization. And I struggle to see how he can lead them through tough moments if he can't compose himself in tough moments. A couple weeks ago, we had a moment in New Orleans where Jalen Carter was pretty heated on the sideline. And you go watch the video of it, there's Sirianni trying to calm him down. Like, the next time this happens, and it will, it's an emotional game. Whether it be AJ or it be, you know, Jalen Carter, whoever. There's, you know, we know the players here that have play with a lot of emotion. That's great. But, like, at some point, someone's going to have to calm them down. Is it going to be Nick Sirianni? Because if it is, I'm not listening if I'm that guy. Like, wait a second. You're yelling at fans. Why can't I yell at the opposing player or whatever? So that's the false...
Accountability, man.
It is accountability. Now, Hugh, but the reality is players seem like they are endorsing this, whether or not it's a defense mechanism or it's a code red, according to Chris Candy. Hugh, it does feel like the current players are all saying, yeah, we got your back, Nick. Be you.
Yeah, it's
and you're okay with this nonsense.
I don't think that's the case. Listen, there's two reasons why I don't pay no attention to what Chris Candy's saying. He's a friend of mine. He's also a Kappa, so he got that going against him. But he was a Dallas Cowboy as well. So, but it's one of those things. Initially, that's what you think. But when I read the room and I get a chance to talk to some of these guys and I see their demeanor, it's almost like this. If you're a friend with somebody and you know that they're in a situation, or say, bad analogy time, you're in a street fight, you're getting ready, like you're at a bar somewhere, and he's had one too many to drink, and this is your friend now, and you're trying to keep him out of trouble, but say if he starts a fight in the bar, you're going to fight with, even though you know he's wrong, you're still going to fight with him because that's your friend. And even when you're wrong, you're still right. And that's kind of how I feel this situation is. This is not something where I'm telling you that everybody agrees with how Coach Sirianni is acting. But he's the head coach. And you're going to roll with him until the wheels fall off. You're going to roll with him until however this thing plays out.
Yeah, those wheels might be falling off right now.
It might be, or might ride these things all the way to the Super Bowl.
Are you doing it again?
Yeah, I am. I'm not bailing on this team, and I did the math yesterday. We got 12 games, man. We got 12 games. Well, I remember back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s, 12 games was enough to get you to the Super Bowl.
You don't remember the 50s and 60s.
No, I don't. I just made that up, but you didn't have to bring that to the attention of the folks that was listening. It was a great story.
Well, like, to go off your analogy, Hugh, you said right or wrong, like, you know, you're riding with them no matter what.
No matter what.
But at the end of the day, if you both get your ass kicked, that's not good.
If we go down, we go down together.
No, but we don't want to go down.
No, but
we want to win.
You're missing the point that I was trying to make. That's your family. That's your family.
But then you and your family are going to get beat up. Like,
and sometimes ass whoopings happen.
No, but we don't want the ass whooping.
We don't want it, but sometimes ass whoopings can't be.
You know what happens sometimes? Sometimes you have people that you're around, and you kind of just laugh off and justify their behavior because they're your guy. But doesn't mean you really deep down like it. I mean, the players could say all they want. They'll show me how much they respond to this guy's coaching and leadership by how they play. Mm-hmm. And the reality is they haven't scored a point in the first quarter of the entire season. Like, this, when they were blowing teams out in 2022, I bit my tongue on this because it was working. Mm-hmm. Whatever they were doing that year worked. And I didn't spend a lot of time because, one, we were all happy. And two, they were winning almost every game. I didn't spend a lot of time on, I don't love that look of the coach, you know, hogging camera time and running up down the sideline and screaming at refs, I know what I'm bleeping doing. Because they were winning.
Yeah.
But they're not winning.
So the
players feeling on him doesn't really matter to me unless they're winning big. And over the last year, they've been outscored.
That's the thing. They were winning when he was doing that.
And they're not now.
Yeah, but they're trying to get back to that.
But they could try all they want. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
This is why, to me, this week, this game against the Giants is going to be something.
Oh, I can tell you what
this is
going to
be. This is going to be a highly anticipated matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be 20-17 in the fourth quarter.
And if they get a win, that's all that matters. You know what's funny? I went back and I looked at the year that I played. We were 1-15 with the Jets. Mm-hmm. We got blew out a lot.
Well, because you were bad.
Yeah, but there were some games where we were in there. We were in the game, and we lost by a touchdown and maybe a couple of points. The point that I'm making is this. We almost won, and it's hard to win games in the NFL. That's a fact.
Hugh Sirianni over here.
No,
your team was talentless besides you.
I forgot the schedule.
Bad quarterback play.
We went toe-to-toe with Miami. Miami was a much better team.
But you were bad, right?
But the point is this. Any given Sunday, Joe, any given Sunday.
But this team was built to be above that.
It is. But even teams that are built to be above that, they still have games where they have clunkers.
Well, I get you. And if this happened once every 5 weeks, I'd accept it as part of the NFL. This is every single. Who they are.
And this may be where they turn the corner. I don't know what's going to happen Sunday. And it might happen the way that you said it might happen. It might be a clunker. It might be a 20-17 game. But the bottom line is this. When you take away that, you're 4-2. If that happens, you'll be 4-2. You'll be right in the mix of things. And you got the Commodores coming up. You got Jacksonville coming up. You got the Commodores twice. If you mess around and beat the Commodores once, you're in pretty good space.
Yeah,
as far as the division is concerned.
I'm more worried about winning this game Sunday.
I mean, I hear you. And listen, this is not me being Hugh Sirianni, Joe.
It really is.
This is me telling
Nick
you.
Nick Douglas. Unbelievable.
This is me telling you, as a former player, that there's a chance. It's still a chance that everything is still on the table. That's all I'm saying.
We knew that before the season. They were supposed to be good.
This ain't where I want to be.
I'm
here.
Let's hear from
Jason. And I'm 3-2.
Well, you're not 3-2. The Eagles are. Jason Kelce. Maybe this is Hugh Sirianni. Jason Kelce last night on the Monday night show, the pregame show. Here's what he said. Obviously, the biggest story of the NFL, one of them, is what's going on right now here in Philadelphia. Jason Kelce weighing in last night.
He's passionate. He loves his guys. He loves his team. And you're going to know that. And I think you saw it. Obviously, he knows that that was not the right way to handle that situation. You just saw it there. And everybody knows that that was inappropriate. But this is a guy that knows that his energy is going to feed the football team. And the team said that in their postseason, in their post-game interviews. Brandon Graham said, we need the Nick Sirianni back. That energy, even though it comes out in the wrong way sometimes, like it did at the end of that game, and I am a victim of that myself, trust me, I'm very happy there has not been a camera on me sometimes when either at the game or after the game.
Yeah.
And, if that is going to get the best out of him, is that emotional energy that he can then infuse into other people, I'm all for it. Not doing that at the end of games and talking to the fans, but taking it out on the field, doing it with your players, directing it in the right way, which it was for the majority of the game.
Here's the thing.
I don't even talk to Jason either.
But you're both missing the point.
No,
it's not getting the best out of them. They struggled to beat the Browns. That's the point everyone's missing.
No.
We're acting like they won the game 40-3. Then it's like, see, he should act like this because they struggled to beat the Browns.
You're missing the point.
I'm not.
You are.
What's the point?
The point is, you won the game and Jalen didn't have any turnovers. He didn't have any turnovers.
You telling me Jalen didn't have turnovers because the head coach acted like a donkey?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, come on.
But they won the game and the coach acted like a donkey. See, this is the problem that we're having this morning. Because I'm giving you rational reasons why that this team might be moving in the right direction. You can't get past the coach acting like a donkey.
Because here's what I think it is. We're trying to justify nonsense.
They are. I'm not trying to justify.
Players are.
I'm trying to give you an insight to why they're okay with it.
Yeah, and I'm not. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, coming up at 11 o'clock, the Dave Dombrowski press conference. The Phillies have gotten off the hook here for the last couple days because we've been in Eagle Land and Sirianni world the last couple days. But it's obviously a very – I can't wait to hear what they say. I can't wait to hear what the questions are and how Dombrowski and both Topper and Dombrowski talk about the offseason to come here for the Phillies. That's coming up live on WIP at 11.
The Sirianni thing does remind me of his first year with the flower analogy. And how everyone crushed him for it. But what really mattered was how the players responded to it. And they came out and they started playing better and winning football games. And we don't have enough evidence of whether they're going to do that or not.
Look at, I'm winning Kyle over here.
Because it was at the end of the game.
He's starting to come around. You hearing?
No. Because I'm about to flip this on you. We know that the players might be okay with it. But you know what we heard all offseason? Jeffrey Lurie is not. We had Howard. Did he come on? No, he's on the morning show. And he said basically said that Sirianni was told to tone it down, or he's going to tone it down. We know he's going to tone it down. So this is a matter of whether, do we want what the players want, what they think is best for them, or we'll bring them back to 2022, which is completely ridiculous, or should we pay more attention to what the owner thinks is becoming of a head coach?
The pushback on that is this. I was not here during the Super Bowl run of the Philadelphia Eagles. I wasn't. But I did hear stories. And one of the stories that I heard was initially, Doug Peterson didn't like the Meek Mill song being played in the locker room. He didn't like it at all because of all the cuss words and all this other stuff. Mm. But when they started winning.
Yeah, he was cool with it.
He was cool. It's the same thing. But it's the motivating factor.
But here's what's lost on me. And I think Kyle brings up an interesting point. The flower speech in 2021. Everyone laughed at him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they responded. I just looked it up. So the Eagles went into their through seven games, they were 2-5. That's when Sirianni gave the flower speech. Okay, mm-hmm. 2-5, and there were a lot of questions. Was this a one and done coach? I wondered it. I mean, was this going to be a disaster? Then they obviously made the playoffs. They rallied from there. Their next four games, they scored 138 points. They came out in their next game and beat the Lions 44-6. Is mm-hmm. this the 44-6 weekend?
Yeah, hopefully, this story is still being written, Joe. And I choose to believe in, like, I'm on my Cinderella right now.
I know you are.
I really am.
Here's what I'm going to say to all the players responding this way. Show me. Stop telling me how much this is awesome that your head coach.
Show me the baby. I'm tired of hearing about the labor pains. Like, show me the baby.
It falls on deaf ears. I appreciate all these guys, especially the ones that have been here. And I appreciate Kelsey for what he did and BG for what he's still doing. But as a group, they have to show me that this actually makes a difference in the positive direction. Because otherwise, it just looks like a distraction to everything.
Like Brandon Graham said it this morning, too. Like, he has to find the balance between doing it and showing off for his players and doing what his boss, essentially Jeffrey Lurie, is telling them that he wants to do.
And how about the customers?
Yeah.
Again, if he wants to do this in the locker room and they have this us against the world thing that Hugh mentioned yesterday, he says it to them privately. Well, then we're never going to know, and maybe it'll work. But once you start taking it out to the fans, it's just silly. Ken and Cinnamon. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How are you today?
Good morning, Ken.
So, first of all, Mike Cherry Hill, I'm sorry that he's disappointed that Jason Kelsey doesn't agree with him about Nick Sirianni, but, you know, Jason Kelsey has spent years in that locker room with Nick Sirianni, and Mike Cherry Hill hasn't, so I'm gonna go with Jason Kelsey on this one, because he consistently says the same thing about Nick Sirianni. Look, as it relates to the fans, let me just say this. You're talking about the paying customers. Once upon a time, I very nearly got thrown out of a Phillies game by home plate umpire at Veterans Stadium when I was like 15 years old. You know, he called a pitch that I didn't agree with, and I yelled, "Ump beats his wife."
Oh.
And he heard me because I was like four rows from the field. And he heard me, and everybody heard me. And he looked at me, and he walked halfway down the first baseline. He pointed at me, and he said, "One more time, and you're out of here." Okay? The point is that being a fan is almost like social media, where there's this belief that you can say and act any way you want and say anything you want, and you have no expectation that there will ever be a repercussion. the way I was raised, if you're man enough to say it, then you should be man enough to accept it if somebody comes back at you. And being a fan doesn't insulate you from that. Now, would I recommend the head coach to get into it with fans on the sideline? Absolutely not. But you know what? This is part and parcel of who Nick Sirianni is. This is not a revelation to us. It's not like we're learning this for the first time. The players seem to universally love and respect the guy. So I don't care if you or me or the fans love and respect the guy. The guys that have to go out there and play for him every Sunday do. And, oh, by the way, he's 37-18 since he's become the head coach of the football team. Oh. I have a feeling push comes to shove. I have a feeling that's the only thing that Jeffrey Lurie really cares about is the fact that he's 37-18 since he's become the head coach of the football team. And you can try and peddle this preposterous notion that he's got nothing to do with all 37 wins and he's completely responsible for all 18 losses. But the guys in the locker room know that's preposterous. And as long as they're good with him, I'm good with him.
Well, I think a lot of people probably feel that way. And maybe Lurie does, Ken. It's a good phone call, and we appreciate it. Maybe Lurie does. I don't think he loves this. And I think a shiny record could get you so far. Can I just point out one thing about the record? We do this with coaches early in their coaching career. And it's almost like you assume or presume that it will continue. There have been many coaches I've seen in the NFL that have nice records through their first 50 or 60 games and then fall apart. Let me give you one that wasn't a big name, but a big enough name you'll probably remember. Remember Mike Smith?
Mike Smith. Yeah, it's Stirs and Combos. He used to be the defensive coordinator with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And then he went to Atlanta.
He went to Atlanta, yeah. Mike had a pretty decent run.
Oh, he did in the beginning. Mike Smith's first 5 years in the NFL, he was 56-24. He had a number one seed. He had a number two seed. He had some good players, right? Julio Jones was traded for in the draft there. He had Matt Ryan as his quarterback. Mike Smith was a fine coach. I didn't think he was a buffoon, but I didn't think he was great either. You know what happened to Mike Smith's career? Mike Smith, at one point, again, was 56-24, a 70% winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He then proceeded from there to lose 22 of his final 32 games. He never coached in the NFL again. So, like, it's a fleeting thing, success. If you don't continue it, it doesn't matter what you did. Yeah, Sirianni's had a good run. I would call it a good run with the Eagles. He's made the playoffs all 3 years. But Jim Fossil had a good run with the Giants. Mike Smith, I could name 15 coaches.
Bunch of coaches.
That start off.
That aren't built. Like, some guys are just not built for the grind of being a coach.
How about Mike Martz, who took over Dick Vermeil's Super Bowl winner, got to a Super Bowl himself, Sirianni got to a Super Bowl, and then within a couple of years, he never was a head coach again. This happens all the time.
The grind is real, man. And I will say this, comparing Coach Sirianni to Coach Reed. Like, I'm not going to get into detail. Coach Reed had a lot of adversity in his coaching career. And he's worked through that, and he's become a Hall of Fame coach. Dude, this game will age you. When I saw Coach Sirianni on television yesterday, he looked older than he did last week. I don't know if Coach is long for this job. I don't know, to your point, if he's going to be a coach next year. But I think he's realizing right now how much of a grind this job is. This job is a grind.
Mike Martz, first 4 years, 67% winning percentage, a Super Bowl trip. Sirianni, 661, a Super Bowl trip. Mike Martz then had a losing record, never coached again. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's about what are you doing now and moving forward.
I was going to cut in with Sirianni's record, you know, over the past, or since the end of last year, where I think he's like 4-8 or something. So, but I do have to say, we did get a call from a listener named Brandon Graham, who said that everything that Ken just said is correct.
Well, they see it similar.
He just called me.
And listen,
BG called the show.
I appreciate BG listening. And again, I appreciate that he's on the station all the time, right? The Brandon Graham show, this morning with the morning show. I'm listening to my way in. And I respect his opinion. I just need the team to play better for the coach. If they play better, and I know they won, and you make a fair point, and Brandon listening is probably feeling the same thing, a win is a win. Yeah, they haven't scored a point in the first quarter of the entire season.
That's something you got to work on.
It was 10-10 against the Browns.
That's something you got to work on.
You got to work on it.
You got to work on it.
Here's what I need. Play and look like a great team. And then this, again, go back to 22, right? We all experienced 2022 with Sirianni. He was similar in terms of his personality, his kind of rah-rah stuff. And there weren't many phone calls, and I never spoke about it much, because they were winning. And they... There's a difference between winning and dominating, okay? They dominated in 22.
Yeah.
I thought they were the best team in the NFC the whole time. Does this look like that right now?
Not right now.
Okay.
But I will say this. There's a little pushback. I don't want to peak. I wouldn't want to peak because right now, perfect example, Detroit Lions look like world beaters.
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to look like that at the end of the year? Perfect example. Another
Sometimes
example.
Sometimes teams just are dominant.
What the Phillies look like at the beginning of the year?
This feels like a coping mechanism.
No, I'm just.
It feels coping.
No, Joe.
We're not good now, but maybe we'll be good later.
No, Joe. What I'm trying to do. See, you don't want to listen to what I'm saying.
Why can't they be good now?
Because this is how you want to be. You want to win games, but you want to build to your ultimate form. It's almost like Dragon Ball Z. You ever seen Dragon Ball Z? It's when Goku turns into his ultimate Super Saiyan mode. You don't want to be Super Saiyan at the beginning of the fight.
22, they were Super Saiyan mode the whole year.
Not the beginning of the year.
Oh, they dominated.
They went Super Saiyan at the end. You want to be Super Saiyan at the end. You want to be Super Saiyan, what is it, 3 or 4? I don't know. I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z in a while, but. You know the point that I'm trying to make.
I'm going to remind you all this.
We got 12 games,
when
Joe.
It's 17-17, fourth quarter Sunday.
Joe, we got 12 games,
215-592-9494. Here's what we got coming up. We'll get to all your phone calls on Nick Sirianni. Look, the players are okay with it. Brandon, who was on last night, on this morning, just called Kyle and said, yes, agree with Ken and Cinnamon. It's clear, and I can't deny it, the players are on board with Sirianni being himself. Or if they are you? I just need him to tone it down a little bit, compose himself. I mean, he did say on Sunday he didn't watch a 3rd and 8 because his hands were in his head. He was hiding. I do that on the couch. I'm just a guy. 215-592-9494 for all your phone calls coming up. And Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson's end of season press conference. We'll get back to the Sirianni calls after, but I can't wait to hear it. Dombrowski and Topper next on the end of the season. What's to come this offseason? This is going to be fascinating after the Phillies' quick exit in the playoffs. That's next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Thursday Night Football, give me the road team to win this game. I like Denver to win this game outright under the total, and I'll take an under on Bo Nix passing touchdowns. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.